If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, we will be spending our time there this morning. We're going to read that in just a second. Well, I wanted to tell you a little bit about this message. This is has been a frustrating message for me to prepare because it contains a glory that is far beyond what any pastor can express to his people. And so I am going to leave that up to the Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak his word, as Pastor John has prayed, into your life, and that he will show you a glimpse of the glory to come that we'll be talking about today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we simply ask, Lord, that you will prepare our hearts to receive from you. May you find in us fertile soil, ready to grow your word. And if, in fact, Lord, you find in us rough soil or weedy soil, that you would prepare the soil of our hearts to receive from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, beloved, I don't have to tell you, but we all are living in a crazy time right now. We are separated from one another, and yet we are on one another's screens often. We are kept from one another, and yet we have the ability to put ourselves out there as never before. And many of us, many around the world, are struggling with fears for their jobs, for their health of those they care for and love. The world is anxious and fearful and angry. But what about us? What about the church? What about God's people? If there ever was a time for the disciples of Christ to shine the light, that time is now. If there ever was a time for the ambassadors of Christ to live as the salt of the earth, to season and preserve and cause the world to thirst for the living water, that time is now. This is not time for us to retreat. This is not, and there never is a time, but this is not time for us to blend in. This is not time for the church to think and act like the rest of the world. This time is an opportunity for each of us to be different as we are called to be. This time is an opportunity when the rest of the world is talking about darkness, when the rest of the world is caught up in worry and fear and anger. Now is the time for the church to shine Jesus into every dark corner. As you work, as you watch, as you type, as you walk your neighborhoods, leave behind the old baggage at the cross and bring the risen Savior with you. We, the church, are called to reflect the light of Christ. In our message today, we will see that this is what we were made for. We were not made just to act once in a while like Jesus. We were made to be like Jesus. So let's read this morning from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 19, and then 28 through 29. Paul says, "So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And these next two verses will be our focus today. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that our sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And skipping down to verse 28. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Amen. So Paul is speaking to the church in Rome, a church well familiar with tribulation, a church well familiar with suffering. And yet he says to them, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Not worth comparing. It seems almost a callous thing for Paul to say, especially when you're in the midst of suffering, as the Romans were, as the world, much of the world is today. Not worth comparing. Paul, don't you know how worried and fearful and troubled we are? Don't you know what we're going through? But Paul was not being callous. Paul himself was well familiar with suffering. He suffered for the gospel continually in many different ways. He is not being callous. He is explaining an amazing hope. And in the verse just prior, Paul says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." Paul calls the true Christian, the one in whom the Spirit lives and moves and leads, the one who lives so much for Christ that they suffer for the gospel. Paul calls these ones co-heirs with Christ. Just a clarification here. Paul is not saying that the true Christian must suffer the same sufferings of Christ. Paul is saying that the true follower of Jesus Christ will suffer for the gospel willingly, as Jesus did. So, beloved, this ought to be a test for us. What do we suffer for? Why do people come against us? For the gospel's sake? Or for something else? What are we known for? The gospel or something else? But again, Paul says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." The depth of this statement is beyond our capacity to truly understand. This is the reason Paul can say in his next sentence that our sufferings are not worth comparing, regardless of how horrendous, because what awaits the Christian is beyond measure. I struggled with finding a way of explaining this to you today. But I feel that the Lord gave me this illustration from my own life. It was one of the most amazing moments of my life. It was a day 8 years ago. My family stood in a courtroom before a judge, and a judge looked at us and said, "Isaac Edward Deshaun Torres now has all the rights, inheritance, and privileges due his name. He is your heir, just as if he was born to you." Beloved, I cannot remember a single thing from that day besides that moment. Surely it was an eventful, stressful day. And surely there were arguments and conflicts and traffic and stress. But I remember only that moment. The judge's words. The face of my wife and my child. My heir. Everything else in that day is not worth comparing. So much so that I don't even remember it. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we might be called the children of God, the heirs of God, co-heirs of the Almighty, co-heirs of the Creator, co-heirs with Christ. You know, there's this false image of heaven as cloudy and white, and everyone's wearing robes and playing harps. And do you know that some Christians have actually expressed fear and concern that heaven's going to be boring? Beloved, that is not the case. Heaven will be anything but boring. There awaits those in Christ a reality beyond our imagination. Paul says we cannot compare our sufferings with it. We cannot grasp the difference. Paul says in verse 19, "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God." Creation itself, the earth, the Milky Way, the universe, the cosmos, everything that has been made by the word of our God, creation awaits what we will become. That is exciting stuff. And this is the reality that will be completed when God's children see Jesus face to face. John speaks of it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." When do we become like him? When we see him as he is. John and Paul are speaking of the same event. The revealing of the sons and the daughters of God follows the revealing of the Son when we see him as he is. This is all about Jesus. He is our portion. He is our cornerstone, our rock, our fortress. He is our goal. He is our prize. He is the glory to be revealed. And when we see him as he is, we shall be made like him. The work in us shall be complete. The revealing of the Son will sweep across the universe, and within his glory we shall finally, completely be made whole. And in that moment, gone will be the elevation of our sorrow. In that moment, gone will be the elevation of our ego, our pride, our selfishness, our insecurity, our fear. Gone will be the pain of our human loneliness. In that moment when the perfect Son stands before us, gone will be any imperfection in us. Gone will be any negative or selfish thought. Our eyes will no longer be on us, for our eyes will be full of Jesus. And there is nothing worth comparing to him. Beloved, if in this time you are struggling, in Christ you have a blessed hope. For a reality awaits those in Christ that is beyond comparison. More than that, our God wills for you to experience part of that reality today. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we read in Scripture of something he will ultimately bring to completion in the next life, we can rest assured that he is moving towards that completion now. He is the same God. Everlasting life for the believer does not begin when we die. It begins the moment we are born again. what he will bring to ultimate completion on that day in us. He is moving to accomplish in us today as well. Amen. Continuing on in our passage, skipping down to verse 28, Paul says some of my favorite words from Scripture. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. His destiny for you is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's his destiny for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that they might be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. God desires to use all that we go through in this life for a great purpose, for our good. And that good is to transform us and to conform us to the image of Jesus. Beloved, there is no greater fellowship with Christ than when we are being conformed to his image, when we are following him, no matter how costly the following might be. There's no greater fellowship with Jesus than then. As we have heard already, it is the presence of Jesus then that will ultimately complete us. It is the presence of Christ now that makes us who he desires us to be. In all our struggles, he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. Through every struggle, through every pain, through every crisis, every mistake, every conflict, he is with us. And it is his will always to conform us to his image. This is our destiny, beloved. This is what Scripture says creation itself awaits the revealing of the children of God. And even now the world awaits the children of God. The world awaits those in whom Christ lives. We are called to reveal. We were made to reveal Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Whether they know it or not, whether they receive the gospel or not, we are called to bring Jesus to the world. And the world needs us to be who God has called us to be. Now and in the end, it is all about the one who is the beginning and the end. It is all about Jesus. Who we follow now, Jesus. Who we will follow then, Jesus. Who we are to reflect now, Jesus. Who we will be like then, Jesus. The glory to be revealed, Jesus. In closing, I want us to read just the final verses of Romans chapter 8 together. If you have that in front of you, Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, if your relationship with Jesus has waned, if your love for him has decreased, if your relationship with God has moved from the intimate to the casual. If you don't long for Him as you once did, He longs for you. James chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Or do you suppose it is of no purpose that the Scripture says, He yearns jealously over the Spirit He has made to dwell in us?" God yearns. He who needs nothing. He who was before existence existed. He who spoke existence into existence. That eternal being yearns for you. Nothing we go through is worth comparing to Him. And He desires that you know that He is going through it with you. He is calling you to return to the One who has never left you. If today you feel like you've been walking with Jesus, but what you have been showing the world is you, He is calling you to return to Him. If today you are watching and you have never known this Jesus, He knows your name. He knows the numbers of hairs upon your head. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what you do. He knows what you think. He knows all about you, and He yearns for you. That feeling that there is something more that you are missing, that is God reaching out to you. You need God. You were made for Him. That is much a reality for the Christian who has been following Jesus for decades as it is for those who have yet to come to know Christ. We all feel it. We all know it. When our hearts betray us, when our attitudes hurt ourselves and others, when our fears move us, when our insecurities wound us and others, if we are honest in every moment, we know we need God. And that's okay. Because we were made for Him. So if you've been listening and God has revealed to you your need, God has a better way. And whether it be the first time or the 10,000th time, God desires that you choose Jesus. We all have our own way of thinking that seems right to us. Proverbs 14:12 says this, "There is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, that way is death." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He loves you so much that He laid down His life and endured the cross for your sins. And He rose again. He conquered sin and death, and He offers that victory to you. He chooses you. All you need to do is receive Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You that You have paid our adoption cost by the blood of Your own Son. You have bought us back from the penalty of our own sin. You have washed us clean. And now there awaits for us a reality that is beyond our comprehension. And now there awaits for those who call on Your name a new life that begins the moment we place our trust in You. And so, Father, in every moment, may You have Your will and Your way in us. And in every moment, may we call upon Your name and allow You to be Lord in our lives. And allow You to live Your life in us. Transform us to show You to the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.